Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus said this as he was dying on the cross. He said to the one who had been convicted of a capital offense and was dying with him, "You will be with me in paradise." Jesus gave no peace, demanded nothing. He did not ask, "What do you believe?" He did not ask about his stance on current issues, theology, or morals. Certainly he did not ask of this criminal, "Have you been good?" Say this convicted criminal, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Replied Jesus, say, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus, remember me. The word remember is a wonderful word. It is related to member. Prior to wider circulation of the authorized 1611 King James translation of the Bible, member had referred to a part of the human body, hands, a foot, a heart, a ears. That in the English Bible's translation of Paul's letter to church at Corinth, the Paul uses a crude metaphor for the church as the body of Christ and speaks of each of us as members of that body. Paul's metaphor and his translation in the King James Version changed the English language. The modern English, however, continues to use the archaic sense of the word member when it speaks of dismembering, cutting a body into pieces. As the criminal dying with him, "Jesus, please remember me." He begs to be put back together even at the moment when he's being totally destroyed by the degrading execution. "Yes," Jesus say, "yes, you will be remembered. You will be with me today in paradise." Think of it. Think of it. The only story we have of Jesus promising someone that they will be remembered, that they will be with him in paradise, is this story. "You will be with me today in paradise." So then, who will not be remembered by Jesus if we know that the first to be affirmed as being with Jesus in paradise is a criminal? If that is so, will other criminals be excluded? Will those who disagree with us? How wonderful this love of Christ is. A love that reaches out as he is dying, not only to those who are killing him, "Forgive them, Father," but to the criminals being executed with him. This love has no boundaries. When Jesus remembers us, we are put back together again, whether in this life or in the world to come. When we remember sisters and brothers who have passed it on to the church triumphant in They are in our very acts of remembering brought back together with us in the living body of Christ. This is why whenever we share the bread and the wine, we join not only with those physically present, but with the whole church of Christ, including the communion of saints. The body is remembered. It is put together again. Here in these days, in Fort Texas, some of you have carried it as you pursued the legislative goals. Others have lost it. We who have been claimed by Jesus as a part of His body have found ourselves at odds at each other, with each other. But recall the words Paul about the importance of every part of the body of Christ. We belong to each other, and we are organically interrelated. We as the United Methodists have changed it and grown in many ways over the years. We began as a small fire in John Wesley's heart and offered a ray of hope for the broken world. The God's movement expanded it around through many faithful workers. God's hand touches east, west, and north and south in the earth until we are a global church. How grateful we are as the United Methodists in this amazing and unlimited grace of God. It is such an evidence for us in these 2 weeks of the General Conference that God expands and challenges us to what is the centrality for Christians: giving space for others to be. Acknowledging that reality is made up of others. Loving others by appreciating their differences. So in this beautiful communion of the United Methodist Church, no one is less faithful and less honorable as a member of Christ's body. We are all equal, and we are all beloved by God. We are belong preciously to each other. How long we refuse to accept? How long we refuse to bring them in all together in this beloved community? Together we gather here and remember our sisters and brothers, those who have faithfully served our United Methodist Church and gone from our midst, what gifts they brought to us as a church, what sorrow their passing brings to those who loved them dearly. But as we name them in our hearts and minds today, they are remembered. The body is brought back together. They will be in celebration of the God's mystery. We also remember the tragedy in our past of war and violence, of the Holocaust and dehumanization. We remember those who, since we last met, have been killed in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, those sisters and brothers of ours who served the armed forces, and those many more of God's children who lived in Iraq and Afghanistan, some fighters, but mostly civilians caught in the crossfire. We also remember many victims in Darfur, Sudan, Kenya, and Palestine, Israel in conflicted times. We also remember those whose lives were destroyed and uprooted by Katrina, the tsunami, and other natural disasters. May God remember each one of them and continually comfort their families and friends. We also remember the many lives impacted by the recent violent acts that claimed the lives of the students and teachers on the campus of Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois University campus and other campus communities in the world. We pray for our young people and those feeling a sense of vulnerability, isolation, insecurity, and fear on their campuses, and even in their everyday lives. When I was a young boy, my friend and I were playing along the shore of the Yellow Sea. Our single nation of Korea had been divided into North and South by the superpowers following World War II. For years, my childhood, the Korean conflict had been taking place. The brothers in the North had come to fear brothers in the South. Sisters in the South feared those in the North. I remember the day when this friend Hagun and I were playing on the shore. He spotted something interesting in the water. He reached it for it. It was a mine that exploded upon touch. Instantly, nothing. I didn't feel aware of my friend existed anymore. But I remember him. In that remembrance, I wish and pray for the reconciliation and peace in the Korean Peninsula. That how long we wait, how long we separated, how long we hate each other, how long put the war and defense each other. We remember those who have needlessly died from the starvation and hunger in this world. The earth produces enough to feed every human being, but poverty prevents so many from access to the basic sustenance. Meanwhile, the garbage cans of the affluent overflows with uneaten bounty. In the Labor Day today, we remember those who labor long hours for low wages and struggle for dignity and basic human rights. I personally remember, sisters and brothers, I was one of men next to the Christ on the cross, who were judgmental and greedy, self-righteous. When I first became a Christian, I was rigid and judgmental. So as a young Christian, I came to believe that my new ways were absolutely right. That everything of my Buddhist, Confucian, and shamanistic past was to be totally condemned. At the time, I had so much to learn. When my father died, I, as a young, elegant Christian, refused to participate in the rituals surrounding death that brought meaning and closure to my mother, siblings, and the wider family. They went to the mountain with his remains, as our tradition required. But I stayed in resistance to follow traditional family ritual. They brought prayer to the God beyond us all, but I refused to pray since this God was not specifically named as the God of Christians. My understanding of Christianity as a young convert had more to do with the rejection of everything that seemed not specifically Christian than it did with adopting the ways of Christ. It was not until much more recently, after my graduate study and seminary training, that on the return to my home village, I made the mountain pilgrimage to my father's grave. I repented of my arrogance, and really that such a great time in the moment that I have experienced the release and freedom in my heart. I had peace with my father and my past. And for those who protest that Bible is too difficult, I'm reminded of Mark Twain's famous quote, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, but the part that I do." We know many of the things Jesus considered blessed. We know his view on violence and the nonviolent life he himself led. We know of his eventual openness to every source and category of person he encountered. He continued to welcome the outsider. We know how he forgave even those who executed him. Mark Twain was indeed right. It's the parts of the Bible that we do understand that really bother me and bother us. He calls us to follow Jesus. We, the United Methodist Church, stand at a crossroad today. Where are we? We found ourselves in a debate between those who would like the church to be more flexible in non-essential matters, more open, and those who would like the church to be clearer about its boundaries, more pure. One could argue that those who expose greater openness are holding fast to biblical principles of hospitality. Those who desire clarity in the matters of boundaries, however, are adhering to biblical principle of holiness. But both holiness and hospitality are excellent values. Both are biblical values, and both are right. Of course, they can be both wrong. The problem is this: when we concern ourselves only with the holiness, and we become rigid and inward-looking, we make an idol of our purity. We put the wall and defend our doctrine. We continue to fear that somebody will tear down our form of doctrine. We put the fence around, reduce continually. When we concern ourselves only with the hospitality, however, we lose our sense of who we are. Our identity is blurred and we lose the language of our own faith. We no longer know why we are Christian and what holds us together in that way. Either holiness or hospitality can become a problem if we pay attention only to one dimension and exclude the other. Instead, we are invited to live in the tension that is created by holding both values, holiness and hospitality, together at the same time, brothers and sisters. We are together in the tension. We need to work it out. We need to continue to expand our limit. And God's outstretching love and grace will be here with us today. We stand at a crossroad again. A United Methodist have authorized it and has carried it on a war against Iraq. Other United Methodists, including Council of the Bishops, have felt that compelled to say that is not what Christ has taught us. We know loving our enemies is not a phrase invented by an old 60 rebirth, but a command from the Jesus Christ, our Lord. Some United Methodists say they cannot be a part of a church that does not condemn virtually everything other than the dominant and traditional understanding of sexual orientation. Other United Methodists have suggested that God's creation is beautiful in its diversity, and everyone is deserved of God's welcoming and unconditional love fist in the Christ Church. It is hard. It is difficult. It is hard to focus together. As a former seminary faculty, I retain deep respect for theological learning. But Christianity is not about being theologically correct. It's about following Jesus. The basic question is not what we intellectually believe about Him, though this is not unimportant, but the heart of it all in this question. Will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus, brothers and sisters? This is what John and Charles Wesley understood so well. At the core of our faith community is not the proper observance of rites and rituals. At their core is not correct belief. If your heart be my heart, give me thy hand, continues to be a Wesley's invitation, not to worship alike, nor believe the same things, but together to follow Christ Jesus together. Yes, our focused mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The story takes place shortly after the execution of Jesus. His once faithful disciples are despondent, and they are plodding one foot after the other to Emmaus. The stranger joins them and talks with them, but they don't get it. Filled with fear, sorrow, and despair, neither their eyes can see nor their ears hear the miracle that is in the midst. The risen Christ is with them, but to them, He is a stranger. He is a stranger until sometimes after they arrived at Emmaus. As they ate together, He took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to them. Suddenly they remembered. The body was restored. This stranger they now recognized as a risen Christ. The dismembered body was now remembered. Why had they not recognized Him sooner? That's a mystery we will never solve. But somehow, as they shared this beautiful, blessed Eucharistic bread and together with this stranger, the disciple became aware He was again present in their midst. Christ is risen indeed, brothers and sisters. The body of Christ was remembered. Though they have been separated from Christ, they were brought back together. They were remembered, restored. Such a mystery is beyond our comprehension, but how glorious it is. It is not we who save ourselves by having the right opinions about Christ, but Christ Himself who saves us just as we are, brothers and sisters. It is not that we do such a great job of remembering Jesus, hard as we might try. It is Jesus who knows us, who remembers us, who promised to remember even the criminal who died with Him. If Jesus promised to remember even such a one as Him, one with such abysmal qualification, cannot He be trusted to remember us as well? Jesus' arm stretched on the beam, extended to release our sin, to receive all in love, to invite us to new life. In God's paradise, we find in plenty all forgiveness and healing, reconciliation and comfort, joy and abundant life. So sisters and brothers in Christ, God's saving and transforming love is yours. It is unconditional. It is unconditional. It is unconditional. It is unlimited. It is unlimited and require no return in divine mystery. Ask Him to remember you. Ask Him to remember you. He will. Ask Him. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.